1 Corinthians chapter 12. But my dad could just grow stuff and grow stuff and grow stuff, and he was a farmer's almanac guy. Planted by the science, he sure did. He did that every year. He'd get a farmer's almanac, and he'd open that up, and he'd just look through it to find the day when you're supposed to plant this and the day when you're supposed to plant that. And that's biblical. In Genesis chapter 1, God put the procession of everything in the universe is in an order. And God specifically said, I give it to you for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And so he always planted by that, and always, boy, we always had, tomatoes and okra and peas and beans and cucumbers and radishes and more beans and peas than I wanted to pick, I guarantee you. But we always had that, and I try to grow a little bit here and there. I tell you, we bought some. There's a roadside stand on my way home every day that sells tomato plants. You've seen them? Okay, that old guy out there selling tomato plants, you know who that is? Yeah, it's Wayne Dealman. Yeah. And I knew him. I didn't know that's who it was, and we pulled in, and we'd been promising to pull in there. I mean, he's got a whole big old trailer load full of tomato plants and pepper plants. And he's got a pepper plant that'll kill human beings. Okay? If you eat it, a lot of it. He said they're hot. They're bad hot. Hotter than habaneros. So anyway, we pulled in there, and he gave us a half a dozen tomato plants and half a dozen pepper plants. And I said, Wayne, I didn't know this was you. I thought it was some old man out here. And this guy, I mean, I like him. I always like Wayne. He's a neat guy. He's a computer programmer, but this is what he does just for kicks. Grows stuff. And I said, how many of these do you grow every year? He said, about 5,000. Yeah, 5,000 tomato plants. How many do you sell? About 4,800. That's not bad. That's not bad. So anyway, I got them planted. They ain't looking too good this morning. All that has to do is to go from somebody else's hand to mine. And as soon as I touch it, they all go. I don't know. I don't know. So anyway, was there a heavy frost? Probably so. That's how I work. Anyway, 1 Corinthians, I'd rather sow seed of the Word of God. Amen. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of the Spirit. They are gifts. And I'm dealing with right now some issues in the Watchman broadcast, dealing with grace, dealing with the gospel, salvation. The real gospel, the real grace of God, the real salvation of God is free. Totally free. Okay? It is not hinged upon what we do or don't do. It is not hinged upon that. You say, well, don't you think as a Christian we ought to be doing this? I think as a Christian you ought to try to live a Christian life. Okay? But what I'm telling you is that is not your grace. That is not God's mercy on you. That's not His free pardon of your transgressions. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And I know some of the worst, nasty sinners in the world are in heaven right now because of the free grace of God, and God gave it to them, not because of what they did or didn't do, but because He loved them and He gave it to them. Likewise, the gifts of the Spirit are free as well. They are free of charge. They are free of performance. And I'll get into that. When we get into tongues and things like that, I'll get into that, because their churches run around saying they're operating in the manifestations of the gifts. No, they're not. They're boasting of a false gift. That's what they're doing. When you boast of a false gift, you're a cloud without water, the Bible says. And so anyway, if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And then I want you to notice the third one. We're going to be dealing with this one today. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally. And notice the word, as He will. As He will. That's not your will. That's God's will. God will give it to who He wants to give it to. Can I get an amen on God's people? He said, he told everybody, He said, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have pardon on whom I have pardon. You know what He's saying? God said, you don't like that person, but how about this? How about if I just forgive all their sins? How's that? How about if I just wipe the slate clean? And a lot of times we're like the older brother to the prodigal son. Well, that father, that ain't fair. I've done this, and I did this, and I did that. Who cares? Okay? This was my son. It's not about what you do. It's about you being my son. Amen? So He forgave all of his sins. But anyway, that's the gist of the gifts of the Spirit, is that God gives them. God gives them severally as He will. It is all about the will of God, the sovereignty of God, the moving of God. If God wants you to have this, then you have this. If God wants you to have that, then you have that. And that's exactly how God works. He's just that way. He doesn't play second fiddle in anybody's band. Amen? He's not the co-pilot. He's not riding along in the ride of your life to help you out every now and then. He is the Lord, and He is in charge of everything in your life. And I like that. I really do. I like that. I like having that peace of mind of knowing that God is in charge. But God gives gifts however He will. And so let's look at, we've looked at the word of wisdom. We've looked at a little bit about the word of knowledge. I don't know if we got through all the verses. But anyway, the whole idea behind the gift to the Spirit is that I believe that they are portioned to us and available to us by way of the Word of God. And in fact, the clue is there. He said the Word of wisdom, the Word of knowledge. Those ideas there tell us that wisdom, what God imparts to us, is given to us by way of the Word of God. I've got a sermon this morning that, I'll be honest with you, it's not really my kind of sermon. Okay? It's not really my kind of sermon. Especially on a Sunday morning. Okay? On a Sunday morning, I like to get up and crack the whip and tear the hide off everybody and let's get down to the altar where we belong. Amen? It doesn't always have to be that way, and I know that. But it was something that God hit me with yesterday. I mean yesterday. And I was in line at Sonic Hamburger Joint. Yeah. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I mean, it's just scriptures coming out, and I'm getting the meaning of it, and the sense and the meaning of it. And I started crying right there in line in Sonic. Okay, and I'm getting ready to pull out. I had to put my sunglasses on to kind of hide my eyes a little bit, you know, and the guy was real nice and everything like that. But it was just one of those things where, it was one of the neatest things that I'd seen in a long time, and it just came out of the blue. It just seemingly came out of nowhere, but I know where it comes from. It comes from as a gift of God. It comes by His grace and His mercy to us. And it's a neat little... You could just say this is a neat little Mother's Day sermon. That's what it is. A neat little Mother's Day sermon. We won't be having snot slinging, tear jerking, you know, altar calls or anything like that. It'll just show you the beauty and the magnificence of the God that you and I serve. He's a very good God. And by the way, He's a God of beauty. He really is. He's a God of beauty. Don't take that away from Him. Just look out here. Amen. God did all that. God made all that stuff. So anyway, these things come to us by way of a gift from God. And this wisdom and this knowledge that we have when God teaches us something, it comes by way of His Word. So now we're dealing with the issue of faith. Faith. Somebody tell me what faith is. What is faith? Go ahead. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What about when we define the word? Where did the, I like to look at words and where they came from and where we get them from. That we have an English word called faith, but that came down to us from some other language. English has only been around for several hundred years. Where did that word come from and how do we get it? So what is the word, what is the definition of the word faith? Trust. Belief. Alright? That's what the idea of faith is. I have faith in God, which means that I believe in God. I believe in what God said, and I'm trusting in what God said. I'm leaning upon what God said. And faith is essential to New Testament salvation. It is absolutely as if you don't believe, you're not saved. You're not going to heaven. It's very, very clear in the Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever doeth in Him. No, that's not what it says. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it is belief in what Christ has done, and belief and trust in the record that God sent to us. John said, "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life." And so it is a belief in the written record of God. Where does that kind of faith come from? If you remember, I knew that was going to happen before the day was out. If you remember, thank you very much, Jim. I'm telling you, if you remember, now I forgot. If you remember, anyway, let me just stick with my notes here. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10. Now, if you met Gary for the first time, he told you this. Do me a favor. Go home, read Romans 10, believe it exactly the way it's written. Romans 10 is a powerful chapter in the Bible. In the King James Authorized Bible. Okay? Romans 10. You know, not even my Bible's going to work right today. It's just one of those days. Amen. So let's look at Romans 10. Let's look at verse 6. Now let's go back to verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. And he's talking about the Mosaic law, the law that was given to Moses, the Old Testament. That was a covenant that God made with them, but God never intended that they would be saved by following after the Old Testament covenant, because you can't do everything. God said you had to do everything that He told you to do. If you didn't do one thing, the whole deal's off. It's all gone. It's completely over with. If you don't do one thing, then it's off. And that's not an unusual thing. We sign contracts for just about everything major that we do in this life. There's a contract given. And contracts have guidelines and things that you must perform, or things that I must perform if you're right signing a contract with me. And if I don't do such and such a thing according to that contract, I've broken the whole contract. I've broken the contract. If, like in rental property, or if you go to buy a car and you're going to make payments to the bank or whatever it is, and if it specifically says in that contract, if you don't pay the bills for whatever it is, whether it's your house or you're going to buy, maybe all of a sudden you need a washer and dryer and you had to go buy it on payments. You had to go buy it on time. And if you don't make the payments on it, what's that company going to come do? They're going to come. They have a right to go and get your washing machine and dryer because you didn't make the payments on it. And you don't get the money back that you paid in already because you've used the washer and dryer. And that's how simple that is. So if you don't make the payments, you break the contract. It's over and done with. The whole thing's shot and they come get their property back. But you still owe the debt. You still owe the deal because you signed a document saying you're going to pay all that, and they come after you for it. This is very simple. God said in the Old Testament, and they agreed to it. The Israelites didn't say, "Well, God, that's not fair to us. We don't want anything to do with that." They consented to what God was saying to them. They said, "Everything that you said, we'll do." Okay? And so that's what Paul was getting at here in in verse 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them if he will do those things. The problem is, nobody did it, so they're, now it looks like they're doomed. But then we have the righteousness which is of faith. The righteousness which is of faith. Not works. It is faith. Do you believe? Do you believe what God said? Do you believe that Christ died for you? Do you believe that He represented the finished work of Almighty God for your sins and for your transgressions? If it's a faith or a salvation mixed with works, there is no hope for humanity. Because what if you don't perform the work? What if you don't do the do? What if you can't do the do? What if you do it four times but don't do it the fifth time? What is that? It is grace by salvation, grace by faith or through faith, through your faith. Will you believe what God said? So He said, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. Nobody on earth did that. Nobody brought Christ came down from heaven and Christ rose up from the dead. But nobody on the earth did that for Him or caused Him to do that. Not you, not I, not the apostles, not the early church, not His mother, no one. No one sent Jesus from heaven and no one raised Jesus from dead except God the Father. So it's not the work of mankind. That's what He's saying here. He says, verse 7, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. Now, notice that he says here, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. You see, if you just chatter words without believing in them, you're just speaking into the wind. If you don't believe in God, and then you just rip off a little, well, okay, God saved me, but you don't believe, you have no salvation. You cannot just speak the words. You must believe that God is, and that He gives salvation. And so, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And so what we're looking at here is, what is the source of faith? Can I go around bopping all the church members on the head saying, now receive my gift, receive faith. You're going to have faith now. You're never going to fail. Just have faith. Go around hitting everybody on the head. Everybody's laying in the floors and rolling on the ground and everything like that, passed out. Is that how we do it? No. You know how you get faith? You read the Word of God. You read the Word of faith that we preach. And so, number one, the pulpit must be preaching the Word of God for you to have faith. Somebody say amen. If the pulpit's not preaching the Word of God, those people are not going to have faith. They call themselves churches. They call themselves congregations. They say they're there to worship God and worship Jesus Christ and to attain salvation. But the Bible is not being preached out of those pulpits. Why don't you just go to a health and wealth seminar from Anthony Robbins or some other big guy that's putting on shows for everybody, telling everybody, you just think the right positive things and everything's going to be okay. I don't have any faith outside of what has been given to me by the Holy Ghost through the Word of God. It is called the Word of Faith. I promise you, the more you read this book, the more you'll believe it.
Yes,
every day you'll say, you know what? This Bible's right. This Bible's right. This Bible's right. Everything that it says is right. Well, what about, you know, this kind of word here looks kind of archaic. Maybe we could change that to something else. I'm telling you, don't change it. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Don't let anybody mess the Bible up in your mind. Believe it exactly what it says. Oh, Gary, I don't know where you got that from, but you were dead on. Yeah? Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what it says. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And where does your righteousness come? believe. For with the heart, man believeth in the righteousness. Now what is this mouth part? The mouth operates from the heart. You will say what you believe. Okay? If you believe in cursing God, then that's exactly what's going to come out of your mouth. You're going to curse God. If you believe in God, that's what's going to come out of you. I believe in God. Put a pistol to your head. Denounce God or die. I'm sorry, I believe in God. Phew. Cassie Bernal. Does that name ring a bell? Young lady. Columbine High School. Those thugs went in there and they asked her, I guess they knew she was a Christian. If you denounce God, we'll let you live. She said, I can't do it. They wiped her off the face of the earth. Jesus, and I believe she's in heaven.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Okay? But she pronounced him before men. So immediately she stood in front of the throne of God and Jesus said, she's ours. Okay? I like that. Amen? I like that a lot. But anyway, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Believe, believe, believe. Where did your belief come from? It came from the Word of God. Because when someone, Sterling, when preacher Rakeb came to your house, it was golf too, wasn't it? Came to your house. They didn't come there saying, let me kind of reason with you, Sterling. Let me say this, let me say that. I know Ken Goff well enough, he came quoting Scripture. He came to their house quoting Scripture. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. And Sterling is here today because the Word of God was sent to him and it caused faith in him. And he just believed what God said. And he has now a whole ledger full of righteousness in his account because he believed one day, what year was 1961, let's say. Okay, do you still believe? In fact, you know what? He believes it more now than he did back in 1961. In 1961, he just had a little grain of mustard seed faith. And that caused that mountain to be removed out of his way. And now he believes and he knows more now than he did back then. Why? Because he'll take his Bible every day and he'll go somewhere and he'll read it. He may not understand everything that there is to understand. Sterling doesn't have a PhD in English grammar. Okay? But he just reads this Bible and God builds faith inside of him and that's what happens. So you want more faith? Either have it preached to you or read it for yourself, one way or the other. God will give you the faith. It's a gift. It's a gift of the Spirit to want to believe more and trust more in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the disciples, this is what I'm trying to remember a while ago. The disciples go to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. They realized that if they were going to have more faith, then it was going to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. It was going to come to them by way of a gift that was given to them. And it comes from the Word of God. Verse 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Notice the verse. For the Scripture saith. The Scriptures. The Scriptures. The Scriptures. Verse 12. For there's no difference between Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they then, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Anybody know what the word gospel means? It actually tells you right there in that verse, glad tidings. That's what it means. Good or glad tidings. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, Here's something I want to share with you, okay? In the Old Testament, when you obey God, you don't commit adultery. That's obeying the Old Testament law. When you obey God, you don't covet. When you obey God, you remember the Sabbath. When you obey God, you do what His commandments tell you to do. But I want you to look at New Testament obedience. New Testament obedience. Look at that verse again. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. How do you obey the gospel? Does anybody know? You believe it. Look at, you say, I don't believe that. Look at that verse. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath what? Believed our report. So you've got people running around telling everybody, they're saying it on Facebook, they're preaching at churches, they're running around handing out videos they want you to watch about how you got to get into your Hebrew roots, or how you've got to do this and do that and do that and do that in order to be saved or stay saved. You have to obey God. Obey. And what they want to put you under is the obedience to the Old Testament. No one has ever obeyed the Old Testament. No one ever has. That's what they don't tell you. And in some people's minds, they categorize the sins of the Old Testament. Well, that was a little one. That's not too big a deal. Or this one, if you don't obey this big one here, surely you're not going to be saved or whatever it is. That's a lie. The Old Testament says all or nothing.
Amen.
All or nothing. And so while you might say, well, I obeyed 8 out of 10 commandments, but the 2 I disobeyed, they're kind of little bitty and they're not that big a deal. Who called you God? Who wrote the law? God did. And God said, do every portion of the law and you'll live. And if you don't obey it, you're going to die. And when people tell you that you must obey God and strict obedience is required for you to be saved or stay saved, they're trying to mislead you into thinking that if you perform things that are clearly said in the Old Testament, then you will be saved or you'll make God happy or whatever. Let me tell you something. God is not pleased when anybody partially obeys Him. It's just like our children, Jared. You know what the first thing our kids will do when they know they're fixing to get caught with something? They'll make it look like they're obedient to us, to make us happy. But then when we see, Jim, what they did and why what they're trying to cover up, we don't go, well, but you did this, so it's okay. We don't do that. We go after them for what they broke, what they did wrong. Anyway, is that the bell? I'm already behind the bell. The idea is that New Testament obedience required for salvation is you must believe. And that's what that verse says. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? The report was the Word of God. Because he says in the next verse, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
You going to believe this Bible or not? You going to let the world tell you, and the world mock you and make fun of you and ridicule you until you come along their way? You going to let the world tell you that you came from monkeys? You going to let the world tell you that it's really 15 billion years old and it's not 6,000 years old? There's no way it could be created in 6 days. You going to let the world tell you that? You going to let the History Channel, Jared, tell you that there really wasn't a universal worldwide flood, that it was just a local flood, and that might account for the message and, you know, this and that and the other? Or are you going to believe what the Bible says? The Bible says every mountain was covered. To the top, highest mountain, 15 cubits upward, was it covered. I believe exactly that. I believe that at its peak, there was not a land mass to be found anywhere.
Right.
Anywhere. It did not exist. That is what I believe. I believe Joshua marched around Jericho and the walls fell. I believe Moses walked through two walls of great, big, high water. He walked through on dry ground. I believe that. I believe Jesus turned water to wine. I believe He resurrected from the dead by the power of God. And I believe God saves sinners. Of whom Paul was chief. Amen? Amen. And that kind of takes the heat off us, David. If Paul was the worst sinner, that means we're not. Even though we like to think we are. Okay? But that's the thing right there. It is belief. And it's a gift that comes to us from God. And it comes to us by way of His Word. And so if you can get this part established in your mind, that these gifts that God presents to us are presented to us by way of the written record of the Word of God, then what gift is it that you fall behind in? And let's say that you one day you're needing knowledge. God, there's something going on around me right now and I don't know what it is. But I'd like to know what's going on. I'd like to know what's happening. Did you know that the circumstances around you at any given time are recorded for you in the pages of the Bible? So if you want knowledge, read it. And it may not be as hard as you think to find it. Because if God wants you to have it, He'll show it to you. He'll show you where. He'll show you exactly what page it's on, what paragraph and what verse it's in. I believe that. I believe that. And so you want faith? God will give it to you. It's in your Bible. Don't put your Bible under your pillow one night and think you'll wake up the next day with faith. Okay? Get that Bible out from under your pillow. Read it. God will give you faith.